Would you please turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 19 this morning? The book of Psalm, chapter 19 this morning, we continue the summer series on Psalms. The book of Psalm, chapter 19, if you find that, would you please stand with me while I read Psalm 19 to you. Psalm 19, this is the Word of God. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the word of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. A couple weeks ago, my family took a short vacation to Acadia National Park. It was before the tourist season, so the park was not crowded. And we live in a log cabin, not far away from the park, and every day we spend time hiking, enjoying the beauty. When you see the ocean, when you see the rock formation, when you see the mountains and the forests, especially when you climb up in high hiking trail to the top of the mountain, actually we went up to the highest mountain on the east coast of North America, Mount Cadillac, and it was a very steep hiking trail. We went up there, when we turned back and look at the whole Bay Area, look at all the mountains and all the islands. It was spectacular, beautiful. I'm sure a lot of us will have the experience of going to natural beauty like these Grand Canyon or different national parks, and you see the beauty of God's creation. You will be taken by the majesty of just the simple nature on earth. And with, as Christian, we also thought of the Creator, the one who made all these things. As myself and my son were walking on the trail, we saw that because we know a little bit about the geological formation of that area, we know that the whole area was carved out by glacier. And therefore, some of the rock were coming from non-native origin. Some of the rock were coming from hundreds of miles away in the north. And then sometimes we pick up the rocks and see, you know, this is not native. But just by looking at it and imagining the sheer force of glacier moving rocks and rocks, tons of rocks, hundreds of miles, and deposit in that location, it caused our heart to worship. This morning, this psalm, the first six verses, is a similar exclamation of the psalmist that he praised God by the wonder in nature that he observed. The only difference is he was not living in North America. He lived in Middle East, ancient Middle East. And in ancient Middle East, probably in that area, the tallest mountain probably is Mount Hermon. That probably is the only place he can see a snow-capped mountain. And all were flatland, wilderness, desert, maybe a little bit oasis in between. And then for water, they can only see the Mediterranean Sea, the Greek Sea, the ocean. So what area did he direct his attention to in praising God, in looking at the majesty that been reflected in creation? He looked into the night sky. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. When the summers look at the night sky, the starry skies, the heavenly bodies that they've been placed in different places all over, if you ever been in a desert area at night, there is no city light, you will see the bright evening star, light night stars were so big to a degree almost like you can reach it out with your hands. And there's so many of them that display light on a piece of canvas. And that was what the psalmist saw in ancient Middle East, that he saw. At night, he saw that spectacular scene. But at day, he also saw what was that. Later on in this part, in the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. At night, he see the sun. The sun with the blazing heat, heat beating down to the desert, to the wilderness, to the land. And the sun, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, it run a preset course. It run a preset course, never change. Its heat and radiance never change. Just like a bridegroom joyfully coming out from his chamber, like a strong man running his course. And he give all this praise to the Creator. Unlike other culture and ethnic groups in ancient Middle East, they attribute deities to all these heavenly bodies. But this psalmist, they look at it because he recognized these are the creation. These were created by the one true God. And he attribute all the praise to God and to God himself. This is the natural scene that he was able to access in his time and his location. We can access this similar scene when we go to desert area, but we also can access other natural scenes. It all causes us to praise God, the Creator. But the peculiar part of this psalm is verse 7. With all this praise and worship by looking at the beauty of the nature, the creation, why all of a sudden it turned rather surprisingly, abruptly, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes, and so forth. It seems from verse 7 on, It sounds like two different psalms to us. The first one, when we go to camping, we go to visit different natural, beautiful places, we remember those six verses. But seldom we remember down there, verse 7 down to 14. What is the connection? This morning I would like to share with you the path to God's love. The path to God's love is like the path that the creation reveals. The creation of God reveals his glory. Just like the creation of God reveals his glory, the word of God, the law of God, reveal the love of God to us by pointing us to God's word, reflecting upon ourselves, and pointing us to the Redeemer and the Rock. Let me repeat it again. Like the creation that reveal God's glory, the law of God reveal God's glory through his word, reflecting upon our situation and point us to the Redeemer. Let's bow our head and pray together. Father, we praise you and we thank you Because not only the nature reflects your glory, but more specifically, you give us your word. Your word penetrates our lives. Your word reflects upon who we are. And your word points us to your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for that. And this morning, may you speak to our heart. May you minister to our needs and also cause us to see the beauty in your word. And therefore, we have a glimpse of who you are. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Verse 7 has a set of parables, about six of them, to describe God's word. So the structure of verse 7 to 10 is like this. On the one hand, the psalmist used terms to describe what is God's word. On the other hand, he described the effect of God's word. Listen to this. The law of the Lord is perfect. This is a description of God's word. The law of the Lord is perfect, and the effect is reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, and its effect is making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, and its effect is giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, and its effect is giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, and its effect is enduring forever. And the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. The psalmist used six pairs of description to describe what is God's word and what is its effect in our lives. Now, this six pair of description runs something actually very similar and parallel to the first six verses of this psalm. The first six verses of this psalm is basically declaring and picturing before us God's creation, the heavenly bodies, the sun. From the heavenly body, a vast, big space of God's creation, marvelous, unimaginable, beautiful, majestic. And then focus. The focus starts to narrow and focus on the sun. And when they focus on the sun, how does it describe the sun? Not only is like bridegroom coming out from his chamber and like a strong man running his course, but also in verse 6 it said, it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Nothing can hide from the sun's heat. I think we have much more experience this couple of days, as the East Coast has been embraced in this unbearable heat. You know what I mean. When the sun beats down on the earth, when the sun beats down on us, there is no place you can hide away from its heat. Now, we have been living in rather high latitude on earth. So summer to us sometimes may be a couple of days of 90 degrees above. But imagine people who live in a situation. Yesterday, the day before yesterday, was a constant experience in the summer. It's probably true for the psalmist, the place that he lived in. When the sun beats on the wilderness, on the desert, you saw those National Geographic documentary. When the sun comes out, all the insects, all the animals, they try to find place to hide. Hide underneath the rock, hide underneath any crack in the tree or whatever that is. We cannot escape the penetrating heat of the sun. So in the first six verses, when the psalmist described the grand and the greatness of God's creation, it has a focus. It focuses back on the sun, God's creation. And the sun's radiant heat and light, nothing can hide from it. And it brings us to this part, verse 7 on this part of the psalm. It described the word of God, the law of God. The law of God, actually the word law is Torah, means instruction. Basically, it's a general term for God's instruction. So it's God's word. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And finally, the conclusion, the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. It is telling us the penetrating, the enlightening, the illuminating, and the correctness, the assurance of God's word and its effect in us. Just like the creation, the stars and the sun, no matter how fearful when we watch all these things, they were created by our Creator, and our Creator designated a place and a cause of all this heavenly body in His wisdom and in His power. Everything work and move according to God's plan and according to God's ordinance. So is God's word. So is God's word. The law of God is perfect, is trustworthy, is right, is radiant, is pure, and finally, is sure. As sure as we observe the creation, as sure as you can count on what degree, at what time in the evening, that star's going to come up. As sure as you can plot the course of the whole continent, where would they rotate in different seasons. As sure as even today, science, that you can calculate the physical law, and then you can plan and build a rocket that go up there and run its course. This is all under God's creation and under His power. It communicates to us who God is through the natural, the nature that He created, and also through the words that He given us. We live in a society and a culture, everything is unsure and uncertain. Your job might not be secure. Your relationship may change. Your preference may change. Every morning when you wake up out of your bed, your mood are different. That's why we have this expression of coming up, getting up on the wrong side of the bed. So maybe the solution is just go back to bed and get up on the right side of the bed. But we change every day. We face changes every day. But the good news in God's word is sure. That's the conclusion of this sixth prayer. Is sure. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. In a time, in a society, in a culture that everything seems to be relative, this actually is a good news. It's a good news for all of us that we know that when we step in God's word, when we're stepping on the path of God's word, we are sure, because He has given us the direction and the purpose. And when we step in God's word and follow it, the result, the effect is altogether righteous. God gave us His law. The purpose of He giving us the law is not to punish us. That was not the purpose of the law. When we read the law, we encounter some punishment, and punishment come to our mind is because of our own sinfulness. Because we know for sure, we know very clear that we violate God's law. But the original, the intention God gave us the law is He wants to give us a path. And what is that path? That path is His holiness. He is so holy that out of His love, He knows how to tell us how to live our life that will reflect His holiness. And therefore, He gives us the path, gives us the law, gives us His word. The intention is to keep us in safety path. If you walk on that path following God's law, you know you will be safe. It's for sure. It is right. It will give you life. It will revive you. And it's God's intention to give us law. The intention of giving us law is to not to condemn us, but to help us to walk on the safety journey with Him and within His ordinance. That was the original intention that God gave us the law. But unfortunately, out of our own sinfulness, we wander away. We wander around and we deviate out away from God's path, and then we are in trouble. And then we are in trouble. God is a God with love, that out of His love, He wants us to reflect His holiness by telling us how to live a holy life on earth. And if we walk on this path, we know where we're heading, and we know very clearly of our purpose. That is the intention of God's law to give us, in order to revive us, to keep us safe. When the psalmist described God's word in this parallel structure, he come to a conclusion. He come to a conclusion, and that conclusion expressed in verse 10. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. When he realized that the intention of God's word, the law of God has been given to him, is not a negative intention, but rather is an intention to keep him, to safeguard him, to bless him, to protect him, then he come to the conclusion that they are more precious than gold and much pure gold, and sweeter than the honey from the comb. That was his conclusion. When he see the beauty of God's word, that giving him that safety, he praised the Lord. But then, in verse 11, this safe path that he realized, when he looked at it, immediately, it comes to something that is devastating. Verse 11, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Why all of a sudden he changed that? By then is your servant warned, in keeping them, there is great reward. Because when the psalmist look at the law of God is perfect, is trustworthy, is right, is radiant, is pure, and is sure. The immediate reaction that he had, not only he praised God, but he also looked upon himself. By them is your servant warned. I saw warning in God's word when I read it myself. I saw warning in God's word to remind me my darkness, my sin in my life. God's word is penetrating. It echoes the sun's radiant heat that nothing on earth can hide from it. God's word, when it's spoken, when it's open, when it's revealed to us, it has the effect of shining the light on the darkest corners in our lives that cause us to see who we are before the Lord. That is why when the psalmist sees that, when he compares himself with that, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there's great reward. If I can keep them, there will be great reward. Then it comes to the last part of this psalm, which is also an abrupt change of the tone. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. God's law has the radiant power, the penetrating heat that shine upon our lives. And then we immediately realize that we fall short and we cannot match the standard of God's word. Then this is a cry out from the psalmist. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden fault. The word hidden fault is not just a hidden fault that I try to hide from other people. The word hidden fault in this language actually is much stronger. It's not only saying that other people cannot see. It's including I myself, I cannot even see it. I couldn't even see my own fault, my own sinfulness. And this is the prayer of the psalmist. This is the prayer of the psalmist. Not only I know sometimes I sin against God intentionally, but I'm in deeper trouble because sometimes I don't even know that I sin against God. How can you deal with a sin that you don't even recognize? If you walk with the Lord long enough, you will have that experience. You will have that experience. God's word come to us as we grow spiritually. It will shine upon us and let us see different areas in our life. Shine upon our motivation. The motivation behind our action and our deeds and our words sometimes is ungodly. And at the moment, we might not know. But when God's words shine upon us, then one day we realize, oh, I have been wrong. I have been sinning against God for such a long time. And this is what the psalmist come to a conclusion about himself when he was confronted by God's word, the law of God. I fall too far, far short of your requirement. And if I can't even discern my error, if I cannot even identify my hidden fault, what hope do I have? What hope do I have? I don't even know myself. What hope do I have when I confronted by God's word? And that's why he cried, I'll keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the word is a wish. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. How can my word of my mouth and my meditation of my heart be pleasing in God's sight? If I cannot even discern my error, if I cannot even identify my hidden fault. The answer lies on the last line of this song. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He cried out, I need you, my rock and my redeemer. He's crying out to his God, the God of creation, the God that who gave us the law. And ultimately, the law convicts us, and we know that we are hopeless because I can't even know how sinful I am. Then he cried out, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. God himself has to provide help for us. Because I cannot help myself. I cannot save myself. I can't even discern my error. I need someone who can help me. And that is why in the book of Galatians, that's why Paul, from the New Testament perspective, when he looked at the law of God, he described the law of God in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. The NIV translation says this, so the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. A more literal translation is, so the law was our tutor. So the law was our tutor that lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. The law of God exposed our situation. The law of God convicts us that we are sinners. We are sinners beyond repair. We are sinners beyond hope. We cannot fix ourselves. We cannot save ourselves because I can't even discern my error. I don't even know how deep I am in sin. The law's purpose here, Paul said it very clearly, is to bring us to that moment of total bankruptcy. And lead us to Christ. And in Christ, we fulfill the law, not because our obedience, but because of one person's obedience, our Lord Jesus Christ's obedience. Therefore, we are saved. Bring us to that Redeemer. Bring us to that rock. There's a story about a family. The husband inviting his boss in his company, his supervisor in the company for dinner, hoping to build better relationship. And it's because it's a dinner that you invite your supervisor come, so it's something that the whole family gear up and get ready to prepare. So the wife cooking a home-cooked meal. And while cooking the home-cooked meal, the daughter come alongside with mother and help the mother to do the dessert. They make brownie for dessert. So it seems to be a perfect evening. The guest arrives, everything in order, the house is all clean and all in order. Carpet vacuum clean, the dining table set perfectly, and then the meal was delicious. So it comes the last moment, the brownie, the dessert. When the brownie was served, the father looked at the brownie and then the brownie being distributed to the guests. The father looked at the brownie and turned to his wife. My dear, the brownie tonight looks a little bit unusual. It's a euphemism because it really looked messy. It's unusual. The wife looked at her husband, nodded her head, didn't say anything, and smiled. Yes, a little bit unusual. Of course, the guests, out of their courtesy, they didn't say anything. They just eat it. You know, it's not too bad, but it's just not perfect. So the guests went home. It seems to be a nice evening, except the last little part is not perfect. That brownie seems to be not quite like brownie. Later on, the father found out. The daughter went alongside with the mother to help to bake the brownie. The mother gave the daughter a recipe, but the daughter didn't want to follow that. So she made her own recipe, and therefore the brownie was not really brownie. But out of the mother's love and grace, at the dinner table, the mother didn't say anything. The mother took the whole fault upon herself. Now, after that incident, what do you think about the daughter? The next time when she make brownie, would she follow the recipe? I think she will be motivated to follow the recipe instead of running on her own. This is what Christ did to you and me. When we read this psalm, when we follow the beauty and the majesty of God's creation, that reflect His glory. And we realize that God's law, God's word, also reflect His glory. And in front of that glory, we know we are in deep trouble. Because I can't even discern my fault and my error. The sin penetrated me. The sin tainted me to the very core of my being. I cannot help it. I cannot pull myself out of that desperation. And the psalmist points us to my Redeemer and my Rock. God, out of His love, pointed us to a path to reveal His glory. And that path, we fall short, we wander away from that path. But He, out of His love, provided to us as well Himself, the Redeemer and the Rock, to draw us back to that path. He took upon our sin on the cross. He took upon our transgression when He was nailed on the cross. He took upon all this, the weight of sin, so that you and I can escape the eternal punishment. And you and I can reconnect with God's love, and that love inspire us, draw us back to God's path, to follow Him, to honor Him, and to reflect His glory. My dear brothers and sisters, that path of love, that pointing us toward our Redeemer and our Rock, should be the focus of our faith. It is not the behavior itself. It is not the performance itself. When we are in our Redeemer and on our Rock, we will do things that will be pleasing to the Lord. But it's a totally different motivation. It's not that we do that in order to earn His affection, but it's because we already have His affection. We want to please Him. Just like the girl, she knew her mother loved her to that degree, took upon the blame on herself of the failure. And then out of love, her response will be, I will follow that recipe. Let's bow and pray together. Father, we thank you for your creation. We thank you for your word. It all reflect your glory. And we also know that we are fall short of your glory. We need our rock and we need our Redeemer on a daily basis. Help us, bring us back to our Redeemer and our rock every day. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.